Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. It's August 9th, 2010. It's a nice hot day here in New York City. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk after a reasonably productive day of talking to clients and looking at the heavens and trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So that's the purpose of the show every week. We get together to talk about what the heck is going on up there and to help you make sense of it and to help you understand how to work with it in a productive manner and to kind of talk about the events of the world and how they show up astrologically, and then also to kind of give us a sense of, gee, you know, as above, so below, as without, so within. We're all at this major, major turning point, and where are we going? What are we doing? What's our new direction going to be? Now, we're still in the middle of the Cardinal Cross. We have another week and a half of it until the 21st of August when it finishes. So we're not done yet. Last week we had Mars come through. So Mars can feel a little like being attacked and being jumped on and being, you know, whacked by the god of war. This week we have Venus go through the T-square. And so what she does is she says, okay, we're going to go whipping through there. And in that process, we're going to stimulate the T-square yet again. And then we also have the moon go through and stimulate it a third time. And we have the sun go through and stimulating it, still stimulating it. And then next week, we have Jupiter opposite Saturn, and we also have Mercury stationing retrograde, and we also have Saturn square Pluto. So we're not done with this until August 21st, but last week it was the Mars. So Mars was the one everybody was really worried about. So we got through Mars, so now we have to get through the rest of it, and then we're good to go. So we got another 2 weeks of this energy, still tightening, tightening, tightening in the sky, because the big guys haven't had their last fight. Jupiter has to pose Saturn one more time, and Saturn has to square Pluto, and Uranus is going to change directions and go back into Pisces after spending a couple months in Aries. So we got an interesting weather the week ahead, and we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about there's a lovely new moon tomorrow night on the 9th, August 9th. This show is being recorded on August 8th for the week of August 9th. And we'll talk about what that new moon looks like, because it's kind of an important one, taking place as it does in the middle of this T-square energy. And we'll also talk about what it feels like. Then we'll take calls from listeners. And we had a couple people write and ask, you know, oh, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And I keep saying to people when I talk to them, you know, where they're calling, I'm like, everybody's got a Mel Gibson going off somewhere in their chart. We all have an inner Mel Gibson. And then wherever Mel Gibson's going off, opposite from him is where we're wanting to be secure and serious and straightforward and control things. And then kitty cornered to the two of them, there's a third party weighing in, kind of talking or looking at stuff. So we always want to watch where that inner Mel Gibson's going off, because that's the one that's the volatile activity. And that's the one that's a little harder to work with, because Uranus is right on the world axis, and there's that element of craziness to it. So wherever you have zero Aries in your chart, that's where the Mel Gibson aspect is taking place. We'll find the house. And think about what the Mel Gibson energy feels like for you. In my case, it's in my first house, right at the edge of my second. So it was kind of a little bit of a fraud thing with some money and a couple of bounced paychecks. I'm, you know, relatively unscathed, happy, happy. And then, of course, this weekend with the Mars triggering it, I was out on my Shire house on Fire Island, so I had this kind of interesting guy who subsequently was renamed Loudmouth Mike. Not by me, but other people called him that, and I went, oh, okay, this guy's got a reputation. But he, like, offered to do strange things to my body all through my house, and I kind of thought, I don't even know you from Adam. You're talking to a Virgo here. You don't say things like that to me in public, you know, in front of people. But he was having a Mars thing with my whatever, I'm not quite sure. But I was kind of like a little... I was Saturn. I kind of went, you know, one, you're married. Two, you're drunk. Three, yes, you have a really long tongue and it looks interesting, but I'm not going there. It was kind of like a little nonplussed. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I am having Mel Gibson. I'm having a little Mel Gibson. He's having a little Mel Gibson in technically his eighth house, because it's right on the edge of my seventh eighth. And I was doing Mel to him, I guess, exciting him. So, I really kind of went, well, I had boring ones. I mean, you know, money's not boring, but I was kind of like, oh, you know, it's kind of just a little disappointing. And then I had this guy offer to do things, and I thought, okay, there's my Mel Gibson. I've found him. So you all have a Mel Gibson, too. So you just have to think about where he is in your chart. And as you do that, you'll help that energy calm down because you're going to be focusing on it, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to understand that even though it's a wild and crazy kind of guy that's really being very aggressive with you, Aries, it, you know, you can do Saturn. You can say, thanks, but no thanks. Sounds fun, but I'm going to pass, you know. And you can do Saturn. You can also do Pluto, where you can come away from it and you go, so, like, maybe I can bottle this and sell it, you know. Whatever, is this what it's going to be like for me for the next 8 years? So it's also for you guys to figure out how to work with it. The T-square energy is all asking us to make choices. And in some cases, you know, I had some clients who had some very bad news this week. And it was about, well, okay, now what do we do? And now you just keep going, right, because you've had the bad news. A couple clients had major changes that was good news that were really positive. And it's like, okay, now what do you do? And it's like, you just keep going. Because the T-square is a moment of choice. And it's really, really elucidating very clearly for each of us in our own way where we need to grow and where we need to structure and where we need to transform. Transformation takes place in the Capricorn house, which I just did by sharing my whatever story with my astrology listeners, sharing my little Pluto story. And then Saturn takes place in the house where we say, no, I don't really think so, thank you very much, which was my eighth house. And then, you know, the Uranus, Jupiter, the unusual offer, which I really quite wasn't expecting, in my second house or partner's eighth or face-to-face person's eighth. So you want to kind of watch your chart and see where the unusual offer is. You want to look and see where you kind of are like, no, I don't really think so. And then you want to look where you're going to transform or you're going to share with a wider audience, Pluto, the transformation that you went through. So forward we go. This is an interesting week. We got another one. This week it's Venus. So Venus is playing with the T-square. And the Sun is still playing with the T-square. And he's working with it. And then towards the end of the week, the Moon will play with the T-square. And then it perfects on the 16th and the 21st. And we have some other transitioning things going on, too. So big week ahead, okay? So the week of the 8th of August, 2010. The new moon tomorrow is a lovely new moon. It takes place at 11:08 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, not standard. We're not standard yet, and in the fall. And the moon itself, if I pull up the chart for it, is cast for Washington, D.C., has 29 degrees Aries rising. And so there's a lot of emphasis in this chart on the sixth house, work. So there were some disappointing numbers on the jobless front last week on Friday, which caused a big bit of a dip in the market. And the T-square is laying itself in the 12th house, opposite the sixth house, and then it's in the ninth house of transformation. So the T-square is laying itself across the mutable cardinal houses, which is the same place we've been seeing it lay itself over the eclipses this last couple weeks, too, the eclipses last month. So we are working with this very mutable energy here in terms of change. The T-square Sun and Moon happen, or the full moon's new moon, I'm sorry, Sun and Moon, fall in the fifth house of creativity, and they rule the fifth house of creativity and the fourth house of home. So the focus for this new moon is on home and creativity, home and what you love, with a little kick in of health and work and how we're going to do things. Pluto high in the chart, Saturn rules the midheaven, Capricorn high ruling. So that gives us, again, an emphasis on health and work. So that this new moon is all about health and work, creativity, and home. Because the last degree rising is 29 degrees Aries, which is an anaretic degree, meaning it's a very strong, passionate energy, and a strong, passionate degree, the Mars is a very important planet. And Mars is over in the sixth house in Virgo, and it is very nicely unaspected, which is a good thing. It's past the opposition to Jupiter and Uranus. I mean, it still counts if it was a natal chart. And it's past the square to Pluto, so it's releasing a little, which is good. And the moon is fast, meaning we're having speedy moon energy. Very little water in the chart. So when there's very little water in the chart, we have the other energies emphasized. So the energy of fire will be emphasized, and the energy of earth will be emphasized, and air, because they have more. There's only two planets in water, or two points in water. And so with so little water, we don't have a lot of moisture or feeling. It's very much more analytical. Uranus is on the fixed star shit. And yes, there is a fixed star named shit for those of you who go, wow, there's something called that in the sky. So Uranus on shit. Shit is a, and it's spelled S-C-H-E-A-T, not the way you spelled it when you were in grammar school, people. But it's kind of a nasty fixed star. And Uranus rules, Aquarius rules the 10th house and the 11th house. So we can expect unexpected news that's a little disconcerting with Uranus on shit. And as the planetary energies go to perfect and Saturn goes to oppose Jupiter and square Pluto, we can find this energy building. So we're going to really watch for the next 2 weeks to see what shows up. No out-of-bounds planets except Ceres, the asteroid, is out of bounds. And so that's cool. And we also, you know, if we go back to March, when the oil well blew, it appears they actually shut it down. Now that Uranus or Chiron has gone back into Aquarius and Uranus is about to go back into Pisces. So that's good news for the Gulf and the Gulf Fisher people, and no more dead dolphins and turtles on the beach. So forward, we're going to have to talk a little bit about the energy of the full moon, because it does have the T-square very prominent and very cardinal. It'll be a little bit of a volatile energy. And there did seem to be quite a few shootings in schools and shootings in breweries and things like this week. You know, felt like there were more than normal, but, you know, there seems to be shootings every week, so I don't know. I might have just been looking for it. We didn't have the financial market collapse yet, which is good news. Hopefully, you know, next week and the week after we get through it unscathed. And then all the astrologers can say, man, our predictions went to shit. Ho, 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 because Uranus is on shit. But if it does collapse, hopefully your money is safe. Then we're looking at the aspects for the moon. The moon in Leo is on tonight, actually, the 8th, and all day tomorrow, the 9th. And then it goes till 3:10 on the 10th. With a closing aspect of a separation of Neptune. So moon opposite Neptune loses a dream or separates from a dream. And then it's void in the afternoon, goes into Virgo on the 10th at 7:00 Eastern time, and it's in Virgo all day the 11th and all day the 12th. And it goes, joins to Mercury, so it's bringing you news on the 11th. And then it's void all day the 12th, big long void moon, till 6:42. And then it goes into Libra on Thursday the 12th, and it's in there the 13th, and it goes void at 4:06 on the 14th, Saturday, with the trine to Neptune, talking to you about dreams. And then it goes into Scorpio. It's got void for about 4 hours, 4.5 hours there. Goes into Scorpio on the 18th, on the 14th, and the 15th, and the 16th. And it goes void at 1:24 in the morning on the 17th with a nice closing trine. So we're really looking at the hard week, the hard days being Monday and Tuesday. And then the Virgo days are kind of worrywart days. They're Tuesday night, Wednesday, and all day Thursday. But there isn't a whole lot you can do on Thursday because the moon's void. And then we go forward into Thursday, Friday, the Libra moon, which are decent, and then the Scorpio moon, which is good. So if you've got to get stuff out the door, do it on the back end of the week rather than the front end of the week. Front end of the week has kind of crappy aspects, and avoid Thursday entirely during the day. Do stuff in the afternoon. Do stuff at 6:42. So we watch those moon closing aspects. Now, somebody wrote and asked, what are you doing when you talk about those moon closing aspects? Things begun under a certain moon end, let's say we start something today on the new moon in Leo, on the moon in Leo. The moon in Leo has a closing aspect, which determines how the matter will be resolved or what the final outcome will be. So the reason we look at that is because that final outcome is really important, and it helps us see how the matter that's begun under that moon will turn out, and we want it to be a nice aspect for the most part if we're starting something. Now, if you're getting rid of stuff and you don't ever want to see it again, you can do a hard aspect where you kind of get rid of it. if, you know, a square or an opposition, because you really want to let it go. But in many cases, we want a positive outcome, so we choose a positive closing aspect. And what we look at is the last aspect the moon makes when it's in that sign before it goes void, before it leaves to go into the new sign. And those are Ptolemaic aspects, the big five. There are some people who say we should count Chiron. I don't. There are people that say you should count the smaller aspects. I don't, but I was raised by a Capricorn astrologer, so I have Capricorn astrology practices, which are a little on the conservative edge, even though, you know, every now and then I go a little woo-woo on you. But so that we always look at that last aspect, because that describes the things. And it's really interesting. You know, if you go back through your friends' marriages who've gotten divorced, or those who are living happily ever after, and you look at the last aspect on the day that they got married, you often see the outcome of the wedding, you know, what happened on it. So I remember when I was first studying, I had a friend who was getting married, and she was running off and eloping, and she was eloping in the middle of a void of course moon. And I said, ooh, you're going on a void of course moon. And she said, what does that mean? I said, well, nothing will come of it. She's like, nothing will come of it. I'm like, no, nothing will come of it. It will be not good. Well, or maybe it will be. I mean, maybe there won't be any problems with the wedding. Well, she was married for about 6 months. She got a dog, and then the relationship went to hell in the handbasket because he thought she liked the dog more than him. And that was it. The relationship was done. And then I had another friend who said to me, which of these 2 days? So I picked. Of course, she didn't choose that day. She chose the other one, which had a moon square Saturn, which indicated that the children would cause problems. And indeed they did. The youngest daughter of his children from his first marriage broke into her room, their room, hers and her husband's current, just newlywed husband, and took stuff with the ex-wife. It was a big drama. And then when she got pregnant, of course, moon square Saturn, it caused a pretty big problem in the relationship, and they ultimately did divorce. So you do want to watch that last aspect for positive or at least not mean things. Now, if you're breaking up with somebody, you want a square. You want to break up with somebody tomorrow, the next day, moon in Leo, opposite Neptune, you know, just say goodbye and never call them again. Bye-bye, you're done. So you can do it that way, too. You can use them in your own way to help you facilitate process and to release things, because they do release things, and they do say, so long, farewell, because they're like, we're done with it. Let's get rid of it. So that's the other part to remember. Those closing aspects are very powerful, because what they do is they say, what will actually happen on things done or undertaken on that matter. Now, if you've got a long-range project, you've been working on it for a while, the chart that's really important is when you started it. A lot of times people go crazy about marriage charts. They go, oh, my God, I got a marriage chart. I don't know all the stuff to do. I'm like, well, you know, this is like a continuation chart because you met them, you kissed them, you got naked with them, you moved in with them, and now you're marrying them. It's like, you know, an evolution, no biggie. Go back to that first date. That's the one that's going to tell you. Yeah, makes you pay attention to your watch, makes you note times, makes you go, okay, you know, I'm paying attention. Let me look at my watch and note the time down. Of course, if people catch you noting your watch, they know you're recording the time because you are an astrologer, and they're like, what, you keep track of times? And you have to say, yes, I am, because someday you're going to care about this, or I'm going to care about this, so I write down times. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be swayed by peer pressure. Write down the time. It's very important. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on this week ahead. The sun has a number of aspects. He has a sesquiquadrate aspects, which are always fun. Sesquiquadrate aspects are crabby. Okay, so right now, Jupiter and Pluto are squaring each other, and the sun is going to sesquiquadrate them on the 10th, which is Tuesday. And so what that is stress that you have to take action on, right? And you just kind of feel like, I got to do something. I don't know what I want to do. I got to do something. So it's very anxious. And then he also has a stressful semi-square with Saturn on the 9th. So the sun is a little stressed. And what that usually means is you're going to see stuff you hadn't seen before. You're going to learn stuff you didn't know before. And whenever that happens, we always go, man, I really did not want to know that. Or, really, did you have to tell me that? Because that sesquiquadrate and the semi-square are stressful aspects to the T-square. So what they're doing is they're going to illuminate you, but you might not be happy with what you find out. The other thing is they're forming what's called a hammer of Thor. Now, what a hammer of Thor is it's a giant cosmological phenomena in the heavens that goes waka waka and whamps on things. And the hammer of Thor in mythology, he could dispatch his hammer off to knock down mountains. He could also dispatch it to make beautiful jewelry. And the hammer had a mind of its own. It did what it damn well pleased a lot of times. And it would smite his enemies. And it also was, you know, a well-behaved hammer, which would come back and hang out by his side until he needed to dispense it again. So the hammer of Thor is going to come knocking in your life somewhere, and he's also going to stimulate that T-square. So you're going to see something you maybe hadn't seen before in a new way. Mercury is very quiet this week. He's having a couple of conversations with the newly discovered planets, talking to Eris, the goddess of discord, but hopefully not in a mean way, you know, because she does cause a little trouble wherever she is. And he is chatting with Kronos, and he's kind of having a little chat with Kronos about security issues. And then he's also talking to Cupido, which is a planet that we're waiting for them to discover that the astrologers have been watching that point for a while, which is a security planet. So he's kind of testing our security and saying, is there such a thing as security? Venus this week is pretty big. She is aspecting that T-square, so she's got a couple more planets to go. She talked to Uranus already, and this week on Monday she talks to Jupiter, and then on Tuesday she talks to Pluto, and then she talks to the rest of the gang. There's a bunch of others that she's chatting with, but really Monday and Tuesday are the hot days for her. The rest of the week she's in pretty good humor, although she's a little cranky. In the sense of letting things go or releasing things on the 12th, which is Thursday. Mars is finished with his run through the T-square, which is good. He has a sesquiquadrate to Inuit goddess Sedna. And then once he has that, there will be some story with the seas on August 11th. And that may be when they actually announce that they have truly capped that little puppy down there in the Gulf of Mexico. And we go forward. So he's pretty quiet. Jupiter's quiet. He's opposing Vesta, so he's saying to Vesta, let's get some new stuff in the world. Vesta actually is home in Hearth, so you can redecorate or release stuff from your house on the 14th. People can be leaving and moving out. Saturn joins with Vesta, so there can be home changes on the 13th and 14th. This is when people move out, people move in, there's like a shift and a change. And Uranus changes Vesta on the 9th. So we have a bunch of stuff waking up the home and hearth energy this week, as Vesta is in Libra and moving quickly through the T-square too. And then on the 13th, Uranus goes back into Pisces. Now, whenever planets change signs, there's a little rumble in the air, so he leaves the world axis, zero Aries, and he goes back into Pisces for a few more months, and he gets out of Pisces forever next spring. So we're looking at the stuff that he brought to surface and helped us see since the end of May, all through June, July, and most of August, and then he's done. And then he's going to disappear back into Pisces and go be a little mysterious for a few more months, meet up with Jupiter a couple more times, and then in March he comes back into Aries where he stays for the next 8 years till 2019. Very exciting. But he right now is on the last little pass. So he's going to be exiting stage right, the T-square, which is actually a good thing. Kind of drops the volatility a bit. Pluto squares Vesta. Okay, so everybody's squaring Vesta. She's a busy girl this week on the 15th. And she enters Libra on the 9th. So Vesta is the home and hearth and our security issues. So we're going to be working. The security issues are going to be roaming through the T-square. And she also is the sister, the daughter energy. Then that's the big news. We also have Apollonian arguing with Zeus, which is always which always is a little bit exciting, and that's on the 15th, right before the opposition of Jupiter to Saturn. Okay, so we'll see what happens with that. So the week ahead should be interesting. Hopefully, we will continue to avert financial collapse, and it was simply a lot of astrologers having large fantasies. Oh, my God, the T-square is coming. Oh, my God, the T-square is coming. But I do think if you look at your life and you try and find the location in your life where the T-square has been setting off things, you will find that there's been a lot of volatility and a lot of action in that section of your world. as you've been learning things, as you've been restructuring things, as you've been transforming things, as this energy kind of pushes and encourages each of us to take new action and to move forward in the world. Now, when people ask me, why is this T-square so important? I'm like, because it's an action-taking signs, meaning there's signs that like to take action. There's signs that like to stay fixed and stable and reliable and dependable, and those are the fixed signs. And there's signs that are very changeable, that can't hold their handle. You know, they one day they're this, the next day they're that. They don't really know what they're doing. But cardinal signs are pretty decisive signs, and they take action in a forward-going motion for the most part, with the idea being they want to take action and get something done, something accomplished. So when we see that transformation taking place, and because these are mean planets, meaning they're malefics, and they're fighting, we all got very excited, and I don't think we're quite done with it yet, so shouldn't say we're finished, the fight's over and nothing's going to happen. We all got very excited that they would take really mean action and do rotten stuff, and we would have this horrible thing happen. And certainly there were some mudslides and some collapses and some shootings and breweries, but I kept going, okay, where's the big thing? And aside from getting offered to be whatevered all over my house on Fire Island, I thought, well, that's how my T-square is going to come out. I'm going to turn it down? Come on, this isn't fair. So, so look at where the T-square is going off in your life and see if you're having a better time of it than I am. Because I was like, if this is all this T-square is going to be, I'm going to be roundly disappointed. And, of course, it was a Venus-Saturn return. I have a Venus-Saturn aspect. So I thought, of course I have to say no, you know. Of course it's a guy that's married. I don't do married people anymore. I did that when I was young and stupid. I don't do married people. No more. All right, so forward we go. I think we covered pretty much what we were going to cover, and we'll take some callers and see. Now, I did hear some really gruesome stories of the T-square, so if you have a gruesome story, that's okay. You don't have to share it with us. If you'd like to, that's okay. You can. And we'll go forward. So let's take the callers. And nobody has their hand up. So we have people calling in and listening, but you have to press 1 and raise your hand for me to call on you. So the call-in number is 347-215-7467. 347-215-7467. Okay. Hi, 818. How are you? You have your hand raised.
Hi, Ann. Love your shows. Love. Could I give you my birth info and you could talk to me?
Sure.
Hopefully I don't have one.
Everybody's got one. It's just a matter of where. Okay, what's the...
April 30th, 1953, at 11:20 a.m. in Philadelphia.
Okay. And April 30th?
Yes.
1953, 11:20 in the morning in Philly. Okay. And what's your first name?
D-I-A-N-E, Diane.
Diane. Okay. Hi, Diane. All right. So as a Taurus, the T-square for you is taking place in your ninth house, which is legal matters, or it is stuff going on behind the scenes in your mother's health, if she's still here, strange things going on with her health. And it's your father's mind, and it's two siblings up, if there's two siblings up. And it's the sibling below you, if there's a sibling below you, their spouse. So it's a ninth house, so it can be legal matters, it can be things that, you know, written papers, publishing, and then that's where Mel Gibson's happening in your chart. Or it can be people that you know well yelling at you about things. And then the Saturn part of the T-square is in the third house, which is the how you're responding to all this yelling, and you're going quiet. And then you have Pluto in the sixth house of health. So this is house of health, routines, and what's going on around your workplace or your pets. So that's where it's going off. For you, it's in immutable houses. So it's not undramatic, but it's not aspecting any planets that I can see. And it's setting off in houses that are relatively benign as far as houses that cause changes in our lives, because they're our mind, our daily routines and rituals, and our higher vision. So are you experiencing changes in any of those areas?
You know, believe it or not, no.
Mm-hmm.
But with the sibling... But you said the sibling spouse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the sibling and I are fighting, but the spouse happens to be great with me.
Okay. So, and the sibling, the sibling that you're fighting with is the one that's two up?
No. I'm the oldest.
Oh, below you. Okay.
Down.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, the spouse is being nice to you and being creative and helping you fight with the sibling.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Well, cheering you on and saying, "Don't take that sibling. Don't listen to him. He's very critical, or she's very critical, and you shouldn't be so criticized. They should leave you alone." Yes.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
So that's
cool.
Let's
have a nice T-square. I got offered, nasty things all over my, not nasty, but naked things all over my house. In fairly graphic form, and I was like, this is my T-square, I wanted something more. You are having a fight with your sibling, so that's good. But what it's also causing you to do is reevaluate all of your visions of that sibling over time and space, because their stuckness or their critical nature, where you normally as a Taurus, are all about love and that kind of stuff, and nurturing and caring, you're kind of going, I'm getting really unappreciated from you right now. And, I'm not happy with it, right? And so that energy of not being happy with being not appreciated, it also causes you, with Saturn through the third, to reevaluate all the things that you believe to be true about your life and your childhood, and that sibling is kicking up and helping you stir up that energy. So it's a good transition. It's like, as far as they go, that's not a bad one. So.
I'm so glad to hear that. It's not near my... My career for positives is my 10th house is my career house.
Yeah, it doesn't get there for a little while. You've got Uranus at zero Aries, and it's going to be 8 years in the sign, so it's like 4.5 years away it gets to your midheaven. What it is it's in travel around your work or in legal matters or in foreign adventures. So if you said to me, "Oh, I'm gonna take a trip and go overseas and teach English or something," that could be the way it would show up, but. You're not doing that. So, and then it's in the sixth house of pets. So if you've got an older pet, it could be some health issues with the older pet.
Pets have left me already. I haven't replaced them. I know. I'm getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. I'm still young. I stay young. I'm active. But, the years just tick away. They're just
boom, boom, boom. They do.
My brother and I were talking, and he said, I was talking about my finances. He says, yeah, but you're not going to live that. How much longer do you think you're going to live? You're not going to live another 50 years. So don't worry about it. And it's true, it knocked me for a loop thinking, I probably have enough to live on. Just because I'm not going to live forever. Maybe another 20 years if I'm lucky, I'd be happy.
Well, Tauruses live a long time. Yeah, you got a long life promised in your chart. So I wouldn't count yourself checking out anytime soon. But I did my will because Saturn's in my 8th house, so I thought, let me go do my will. Like write a will up and stuff. And the attorney goes, and what do you want to do about your pets? And I'm like, my pets? And she goes, well, if they survive you. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm going to be like Leona Helmsley. I'm going to leave a little money for my pets. So I called up the woman who had rescued one of the kittens I have. He's now a cat, but he's a kitten. He was a kitten. And I asked Eileen, I said, would you take my pets? I'll give you money for each year of life that they're planning on being here. And she was like, sure, no problem. So I wrote into the will, okay, Eileen's going to take the pets and then she gets $1,000 a year for every year they're alive after, figuring they're going to live to 18 or 19. And, so that's a good chunk of change Eileen's getting just because she agreed to take the dead, the pets in case I die. So you, with Pluto in the six, you got the node going through there too, and you also have the progressed moon in that sixth house. So I wouldn't count yourself out yet, and I would maybe get yourself another pet because the moon in Capricorn is in the
sixth. Oh, I love you saying that. I want another pet too.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, you're Cancer. Your progressed sun's in Cancer right now. You need to nurture something. Yeah. And Taurus is like furry little things that curl up next to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. And you're so right there.
Go get yourself you got to get yourself a pet. With the moon's in Capricorn, you need to take care of something and nurture something. So, and then your brother
Better
will say,
are
you going to die before the cat? And you go, I'm going to leave him to you. with $50 a month. For a year's worth of food, kind of give him a hard time. But, yeah.
Right.
Very cool.
I love
cool.
that.
Yeah.
It's
no, it's good. Now, your T-square looks to be pretty quiet. We do have, as Pluto goes back, he's going to come over your progressed sun in September timeframe. And your progressed sun right now is for Cancer. So that will be an interesting time, because that will be when Saturn gets to four and squares that in September. So you can maybe have some changes then with him in September. And his boss may be retiring too, which may be why he's so anxious, because he's got some changes going on in the workplace.
Oh.
Your brother does, not so much you.
No. Right. You're right. You know what? It's funny, because my brother and I have the same boss indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's our family member. So it's
okay.
A good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you
very
much.
You are welcome. Good luck. Keep me posted. Have a good week. Okay. Bye.
I know. Bye, love.
All right. Cool. That was good. We like a happy T-square story. All right. 312, you there? You got any questions? Hello, hello.
Hi.
You there? Hi.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
I just want to see how the T-square is affecting my chart, of course.
Okay. And what's your birthday?
10-5-61.
10-5-1-9-6-1. What time?
10:50 a.m.
Where?
Chicago.
Chicago. Okay. And the first name?
Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. Okay, T-square is laying across your fourth house. Stuff with mom is crazy. Home stuff, fights around the house, fights around the home, or the family roots, fourth house Aries. And then the Saturn, that's where Mel Gibson is. And then the Saturn is in the midheaven, so that can be problems. Your boss is maybe being a little firmer, or you're, you know, having to be stern with your authority figures, or feeling they're being stern with you. And then Pluto is in your second house, transforming your finances. And because Pluto is angular for you, that would make Pluto be the important planet in this T-square, because you're having some financial revisions. Does that make sense? Does that seem to be where it's showing up?
Not really, but I think that maybe things are more balanced than I realized, so there's nothing that's really too crazy except mm-hmm. for, like, you know, maybe like one-on-one relationships, but family seems to be pretty tame.
Okay, cool. Are you still living in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's in relationships and home in the house that are
My kids are good, and everyone seems to be really balanced and doing mm-hmm. what they ought to be doing. Probably more like personal, like, you know, one-on-one relationships or like love life, not so much family.
Okay. Well, that's good. We'll take it. That's quite, so the T-square for you is not really setting off your chart.
Now, T-square stuff, does that kind of like go on just for the month? Because the thing that I'm most concerned about, or feel like there's a warning, is this Saturn in Libra. It feels like I'm being sentenced to work for the next 2 years. That's everything I'm reading.
Yeah. Well, Saturn in Libra is, and he's in Libra for the next 2 years. He's until fall of 2009, fall of 2012. But you should be done with him really by March, because he's going to come over your, he's going to hit your 12 this fall. You only have one planet in Libra. However, it is your 10th house. So he's in your 10th house for the first part of it, the first year, and then the second year you're free. You're good to go, because you don't have anything in Libra late. You only have one planet in Libra. So, but it will help you redefine your direction in life, and your 9th house is your beliefs about things. So that'll be important. But you're not gonna have a particularly nasty one. Certainly nothing like the one you went through with Virgo. With Virgo, you had three planets that were getting kicked more the year before last than this last year. And they were really very transformative about work and career. With the Sun in Libra, you only have one Libra planet, and it is to the Sun. So if you go back to 1981, when you were 20, you started something then that you'll be finishing up, and then you'll be starting a new cycle then around your beliefs and around your value and kind of your direction in life, because the North Node is in Leo. So what did you start in 81, anything?
You know, I can't, really kind of can't remember. I mean, it sounds like a time that I traveled, you know, my first trip overseas, so I'm kind mm-hmm. of thinking that's the only thing that was memorable.
Okay, so that could be it, you know, more traveling overseas. You only have one planet in Libra, so it's not like a big, but, you know, like if you have a whole pile, like I've got a friend who's got like five planets in Libra, and we know she's got a whole 2 years of trouble. But you only have one, and it really is going to get set off this fall around December, November, December, and then it gets calmed down and then it comes back for another part. So it hits your stuff the beginning of November, around November 8th, and then it comes back over it again on in the end of March, and then it goes over it for a third time in August, right? So it's on your sun. And so the sun is how we shine and how we partner and the kind of relationships we have. And for you, he rules your belief in things, and he also rules your north node of connections. So it can bring in a fairly significant relationship or fairly significant connections, you know, because Libra's job in this lifetime is to learn how to partner with others. But you also have progressed sun in Sagittarius, so you're entering this period, which you started a couple years ago, of profound freedom, where your chart really is ready to break free and be free. You were a Scorpio for 30 years, and that ended last September, September of 2009. And you turned into a Sag, so you're a Sag now. And that's freedom.
Oh, I can't see that. So now my rising sign is Sag.
Your rising sign is Capricorn. Your sun is Sag. So you were born at 12 degrees Libra. The first 18 years of your life, you were a Libra. And then when you were 18, you turned into a Scorpio, and you were a Scorpio for 30 years. So and then at 48, you turn into a Sag. And then you're a Sag for the next 30 years.
Well, now I know why I've gotten so fiery.
Yes, you turned into a Sag. You probably just started wearing red clothes. You got a little more outspoken. You got a little more, I'm not in the mood. I'm going to drive faster. I'm going to tick off. I'm going to bup, 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 bup. It's a very kind of wired, fast-moving, quick energy since last fall. And that'll be for the next 30 years. And then you turn into a Capricorn. So, but your ascendant is Capricorn.
But you still keep looking at the sun sign you were born in when you look at forecasts or horoscopes, right?
You look at both. So I would look at Sages too, because so Sages are having really, really renovation around their ideas and their thoughts around things. I like to look at both. But if you know what it is, look at it, because you're technically a progressed sun in Sag, so you're going to be feeling the energy of the planets as they're talking to it. So Sagittarius is all about what's my value, because Pluto's in the value sign. And then the Uranus is trining that, saying, let's make it be a little more creative. Let's be a little more, have a little more fun. Let's get out a little more and do a little more stuff. Because the fire sign, you're not in the mood to be a fuddy-duddy and have, not that we think Scorpios are fuddy-duddies, but you're not in the mood to have like intense conversations about deep, meaningful things anymore. You're just really tired of whining, and you're like, well, just do it. Just get up and go and do it. And you've got this much more charge kind of energy going on now than you've had before in your life, and you're much more frank and opinionated, as opposed to Scorpio kind of absorbs and watches, and now you're fiery. You're like, I want to go hike. I want to go climb a mountain. I want to go ride a bike. I want to read. I want to expound on things. I want to learn. I want to travel. You know, so it can be an uptick in travel, certainly. So, make sense?
Yeah. Wow, fascinating. Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Cool. Have a good time. I'm glad you have a nice T-square, too. You know, it's good that these T-squares were not horrible. I mean, I know some people they were horrible for, but not for you and not for the other one. Hello, 239. How are you?
Hi, Ann. This is Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, pretty good. Before you get into my chart, I'd like to add that when Venus entered Libra and entered into the T-square picture, boy, it was like a breath of fresh air.
Didn't it feel good? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like, my partner and I have been like all cuddles and sweetness since Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Especially from the war from Mars in the prior week. So I didn't feel you mentioned that enough. I think there's relief out there from Venus, and thank heavens.
Yes. Yeah, she does win. Well, because what she's been doing is she runs all the planets in Libra. So she runs Mars and she runs Saturn, who are both answering her in Virgo. And when she's in Virgo, she's a little critical. I did it kind of more in my column, I think. But when she's in Virgo, she's kind of critical and she's kind of fussy and she's a little nasty. And, you know, she wants to improve you and make you perfect, but that's not the whole point of love. You're supposed to just love me the way I am, even if I do dribble food down my chin. But now that she's in Libra, she's like, oh, honey, I love you. Let's kiss, kiss. And it's much more nice, and she's nicer. She's in a better mood. She's not in a cranky place anymore. And then Mars and Saturn aren't in cranky places either, because they're hanging out with the goddess of love, and she's in a good mood. So you know how it is when, like, someone you love goes, I am really not in the mood. And you're like, okay. And you just kind of go and tiptoe off into the corner and watch TV or read a book or do whatever and kind of watch to see if they're growling in their chair. And now that she's in Libra, she is much friendlier and nicer and kinder. And she's like, honey, come here. Let me give you some sugar. You know, so it's she's in the mood to be sweet and kind as opposed to crabby, cranky, and irritable. So, yes, we totally love it. Because even though Saturn was in Libra, he was answering to Venus in Virgo, which, you know, is not a place she likes. And Mars in Libra was answering to Venus in Virgo, which is not a place he particularly likes either. But he doesn't like being Libra anyway. So I'm glad you and your wife are having fun. This is good. Yay. Good
hey.
News. Yay.
So here's the birth information.
Okay.
June 2nd.
Cool. June 2nd.
51.
1951. Okay.
Okay. 1:02 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hoboken, home of Frank Sinatra. We love Frank. We play him probably once a week. Okay, June 2nd, 1951, 1:02 p.m., Hoboken. So what's your question? Where's the T-square?
Well, I know what the T-square is.
Oh, it's in your first house. Yeah, relationships. Okay. Yep.
And I guess if I had to ask any question to address,
mm-hmm.
I recently took on a job. I was not working for the last year and a half or so, and I had to make a sacrifice to take it, and I wonder what I'd like you to address your assessment, you know, with that as the primary focus. And anything else you say is fine.
Okay, a sacrifice to take the job you took.
Yeah, I had to give up. I took a job and sacrificed my unemployment and was actually making less.
Okay.
And my unemployment was kind of a gift because I semi-retired. It's just that there was, you know, where I am now, there's no jobs. I'm not in New York anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to get back in the market and take the only thing that I've been offered in a year and a half, and it's actually less money than I was making, even though that was going to run out in maybe 12 weeks. So that was a sacrifice.
Okay.
And I'm curious as to whether or not I made the right move.
Okay. Well, a couple things. One, you are having a progressed new moon right now. And in about 15 and 7 months, so it's at 24 months, you have a progressed sun, progressed moon lunation. So that kind of says you're at a turning point in terms of work stuff. So born a Gemini, your progressed sun now is at 7 Leo. So you're really kind of a Leo now, and it's in the 11th house of shining. The progressed moon has been in Cancer and for the last 15 months, and he just joined with your solar arc moon. So what that says is, okay, now I'm ready to go and do something different. In about 2 months, 3 months, when that progressed moon gets to Mars, I think you'll find that this was a good choice because Mars is in Cancer now, and he co-rules your 7th house of how you appear to work, and you also have a Sun-Mars aspect. So Mars for you is kind of a personal planet about taking things. And with your Sun-Mars conjunction, one of the things that we find with people with that is they have a lot of energy. And as a Virgo rising, being not able to work is actually really negative for you. It makes you depressed. You need to have stuff to do. You also have your progressed moon dipping into the south node in Virgo, in your 15-degree south node. So the progressed moon's in there, and she just moved into your first house. So I think you're going to actually find that this is kind of fun. And then as Saturn goes into your second house in the fall, that will be when you find you're like in your work in terms of like you took this job because you needed to. But as Saturn gets to that second house, I think you'll find that this job is leading you someplace because you've got a bunch of stuff that's all new. That new moon, the progressed lunation, moon on Uranus, which is let me go back and try this thing I didn't think I really wanted to do. For work, did you start this new job about 4 months ago?
No, the offer came about a month ago, and I started 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and did you first apply for it 4 months ago? What happened 4 months ago when the moon?
Oh, it literally fell out of the sky.
Okay,
I put an application on Monster.com for something totally different, and a headhunter called me up and said, "Would you consider doing this?" And I said, "Why not?"
Right, let me try it. Okay. Yeah, I think it'll be fine. I mean, I don't know that you're going to stay there because you got the south node on Uranus. So I think it's a connection job to get you someplace.
I had considered.
Yeah, the healthcare benefits are not as great as you would like. Yes? There's
I don't really need them. My honey's got me covered.
All right. Okay. So that's good because the Neptune on Chiron is not, you know, fabulous. But otherwise, I think it's going to be fine. I actually like your chart's got a lot of new stuff starting. And with Saturn going into your second house, it looks like you would have lost your job back when Saturn hit your ascendant, which was a period of really giving rebirth to yourself when he hit 15 degrees Virgo. And now it's in a new sign, so it's out of Virgo, which is, I don't know where I'm going right now, and now it's in Libra, ready to go forward. So I think it'll be good. And I like that the new moon is taking place. With your solar arc moon, you're having progressed new moon to that. I don't even know what that's called, but that looks like really, when I pulled it up, I'm like, oh, that looks really nice. And then also with Mercury up there kind of giving you the opportunity to get back out. And then the nodes are going across the midheaven, so that's the going back to work piece too. But I think once we get to the fall, when Saturn gets to about 6 to 10 and he gets into your second house, he's going to come to your part of fortune. And that will make you go, oh, okay, this I can make work, money in this job. And that would be around around November time frame, beginning of November.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and then he stations and goes back, and he stays in that second house, and then he's in there for like 2 years. And usually when Saturn goes through the second, we find a new passion. And for you, Saturn's in Virgo, so work is really a very defining thing for you. Plus, you finished your Saturn return, so you're free now. You know, you don't have to do this Saturn stuff anymore. You've 30 more years, and he's not going to bother you until he bothers you again. So congratulations on completing your Saturn return, too.
Well, thank you.
So the unemployment corresponded to a lot of the being out of work, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was another sacrifice. I took one for the team, and it ended up paying back in triple spades.
Okay. So that's
good. I'm not getting into the whys and wherefores. The only other thing I'd like to say to you is I recently discovered you through another astrology person. I didn't really like the radio person I was listening to, and she said, try you. And just so you know, at my, instigation, my gal called you up and had a reading recently. That was Jan. I don't know if you remember her.
Okay.
And she was here chuckling about us being all smoochy-coochy.
Very cool.
About it. I think I'll yield the floor to someone else, and I'm enjoying your show very much.
Okay, great. And congratulations on finishing that Saturn return and finding new work. Yay!
Hey, thank you.
Success
Be well.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Forward to go. Hi, Jan. Thanks for coming for a reading. All right, let's try 760. Hello, 760. How are you?
Hello?
Hi, how are you? You're on the air.
Well, great. I had no idea. Okay, Well, I'm good. My information is November 5, 1965.
November 5, 1965. Time?
7:55 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Upland, California.
Upland, California. Okay, cool. And a first name?
Jill.
Jill? Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And what's your question, Jill?
Well, like everybody, there's so much energy going on in the heavens right now. I was just kind of wondering how it affected me.
Actually, you are having a bunch of stuff. Now, November 5, 65. You're my first one that's really getting the T-square. Mike's having cuddles with Jan, which is very good. You're having Uranus on your moon, so lots of changes around your home and your hearth and your family, and possibly around mothering principles, either you being a mother or your mom or the women who are nurturing to you. They're kind of having a little rebellion, or they're getting a little frisky and maybe a little cranky and argumentative, and that's exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be going, I don't want to do this anymore. And then the Saturn in the midheaven is kind of calming and saying, okay, let's calm this down. Let's not really get too crazy. And then you also have Pluto in the edge of the first house, about to go in the second, but he's opposite Jupiter. So you have a Moon-Jupiter square in your chart anyway. And it's getting very stimulated right now. So this is going to also kick up the desire for money from other people, the desire for changes around the home, and the desire for changes around you and what's important to you. So you're really having the T-square. And with the Uranus-Pluto on the midheaven, you're one of the 60 babies, the babies that were born in the 60s that are really feeling this T-square even stronger because that energy is so powerful. And it echoes your natal position. So right now, those three planets that you're born with, that were a part of the story of your childhood, are really active in the sky, arguing with each other. So you're having what's called a natal excitation. So I would imagine that your chart is kind of rocking and rolling in terms of new direction. And also, whatever the changes are that you went through recently around the money, those are finished, and that's good. And now it's time to really kind of concentrate on your skills and your talents. And really make make money or take the resources that you have with that very high Pluto and really use them for money making or for enhancing your skills. Does that make sense? Does that match what's going on with you?
Well, a little bit, depending on the time frame. When did I guess I'm a CPA, and I just started focusing on that profession once again, probably in the last couple of years, more consciously, probably in the last 6 months. Does that fit with the time frame?
Well, that would be the time frame for the, you know, the transformation for work, yeah, because you were looking at whatever your last job was and you said, I'm not really making enough money doing this. I need to go do something else. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Not having anything strong or negative go on, though. I mean, I got a puppy not too long ago.
Oh, good. We like puppies.
Yes, we do. So
we like puppies, yeah. Yeah, that's not the T-square. Maybe chewing a little, but that's not the T-square. No, the T-square is kind of where you're having inner Mel Gibson. So is there stuff going on at home? Is your mom a little cranky? I mean, you're older, so she may not even be alive anymore.
Yeah, she is. I've been noticing I have been avoiding her lately because I just don't want to get into it.
Right. So you've not been fighting with her. You've been Uranusing her, separating from her, right?
Right, yeah.
Instead of yelling at her, which is what you want to do, you're not going around.
Right.
Which is okay. That's a nice way to handle it because you don't really need to yell at mom. But it is a wanting to separate from home and a wanting to leave behind things because Uranus on the moon. The moon is where we feel at home and comfortable. So what you're doing or what your chart says you're doing is leaving behind where you're feeling comfortable and giving yourself permission to maybe stretch in other areas. And then it's interesting that you went back to your old career because Saturn in the midheaven very traditionally is you reach the top of the career you were at, and that would have been about a year and a half ago, and now you're in a position to say, okay, what am I doing? Do I like this or not? And accounting as a new job kind of gets you back into kind of a more conservative environment. And it also is a nice place because your progressed sun's coming to your Venus over this next year, so it's a good place for making money, actually, for you, because your focus right now is on money or creating money for yourself, which is a good place for it to be.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's good. I don't know. I think in about a year and a half, when your progressed sun goes into Capricorn, which is, let's see when, that takes place in April of 2012. That's when you get conservative, you know, in terms of what your work is, and you also have in that time frame a progressed new moon. So a lot of times what happens is people go back to old lives as they're getting to the end of a new life. So was 30 years ago, were you doing the Sag energy? Were you working at that point as an accountant?
Yes.
Okay. So you're back kind of wrapping up that chapter for another year and then forward. A lot of times as progressed sun gets to the end, so you were born a Scorpio and you were a Scorpio for 17 years and then you turned into a Sag when you were 17 years old. So that's kind of a traveler and a wanderer. So that's the first, you know, the first work job and runs for 30 years. And now as he's getting to the end of Sag before it goes into Capricorn, the progressed sun says, let's go back and revisit what happened when we were younger and see how that feels. And then once that happens, then let us go into the next chapter, which is Capricorn, which is Sirius. And as Pluto's about to go in your second house, very often what happens when Pluto enters the second house, people get really serious about making money. They don't want to be poor anymore. They're tired of poverty. They want to really take their skills and profit from them. And so while your chart hasn't really paid attention, per se, I don't mean in a mean way, to making money, because Sagittarius is here more for the experience, and the sun in the 12th is willing to work behind the scenes, your chart now is like, no, now I'm going to focus a little more on me, where I never did before, and I want to give myself a permission to go and create something for myself. And that, I think, is part of what this transformation is for you, Jill. Does that make sense?
That certainly makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, but the T-square is on your moon, so avoiding your mom is part of it. Which, no problem, because what you're doing is you're saying, I just don't want to go there anymore. You know,
and you're right. And, you know, I just don't want to go anywhere near my family right now.
Yeah, you want to divorce from them. Yeah, Uranus is a divorce planet. I want to get divorced from my parents or my family. I had somebody the other day who was saying, I want to get divorced from them, and she had Uranus in the fourth. It's wanting to be broken free. And it's not that you don't love them. It's just you just can't do it anymore.
Exactly. And I feel like I just don't want to deal with anybody. I mean, I just, right now, and it's scaring me, actually, because I keep thinking I'm becoming weird or something, but I just feel like I want to hibernate.
Yeah, no, hibernate. That's a great opportunity. For, you know, like the whole idea of a chart, what a chart does is it reflects what's going on. So for you, it also is about giving yourself permission to be where you are. And right now, it's like you're just really not in the mood. And so don't hang out with them. You know, we give ourselves like all these rules. And one of the things that this T-square is teaching us is, well, what are the minimum rules I have to follow? And then let me just follow those rules. I don't want to follow extra rules. And as a Sag, you want to shake free of everything that's holding you down. And then the Pluto part wants to hide. So hide and shake free, you know, and only do the stuff you really want to do. It's part of us really getting in touch with what's truly important to us and where we want to spend our time. And that's part of what this energy is all about, too, is it's a crossroads. It's saying, well, I could spend my time there, but I'm aware of the fact I don't have that much time left. I'm halfway through my life. I'm in my 40s. What am I doing? Why am I here? I don't like these people. Not that I don't love them, because I love them because they're my family, but I don't like them. So let me you know what I mean? Let me spend time where I like them.
Yeah.
And your progressed midheaven right now is at 29 Libra, and 29 Libra says for 30 years you've been a pleaser, and you're not in the mood to please anymore. And you're turning into a Scorpio in October, Scorpio midheaven, which is back to being the accountant, which makes me think your birth time might be a little off. But it's also it's wanting to be more intense. So mm-hmm. I would give yourself permission. And Scorpios do hide. They, you know, they kind of go and disappear, and then they come back again when they feel better. Because it's an extra absorptive energy, too. It's very, you know, when you're a Scorpio, you absorb other people's energy. And
uh-huh.
right now, because there's so much flying around in the sky, you may be absorbing more stuff than you can process. So that may also be why you're wanting to hide.
Okay. Now, I'm going for away for a few days. Is this next week a okay time to go away?
Yeah, this next week should be a little better because Venus is in a better mood. But we're still within the orb of the T-square till the 21st. So, you know, we're still having this kind of volatile energy flying around. But if you know where it is, you know, you're not going away with your family. So you should be fine.
Oh, actually.
Huh?
Just me and my dog are going away.
All right, there you go. So, you know, you like your dog, and that's good. You don't have to go away with the family, and it should be fine. Yeah, if you were going away with the family, I'd say, hey, you know, be a little careful. You want a divorce from these people. But you're ready. So forward you go. I say go for it. Have a good time, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you. Gosh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye. All right, so that's the end of the show. It ended, actually, the British lady came on a couple minutes ago, so I'm streaming, but I'm on, but I'm not streaming. I don't know what that means. At any rate, have a great week. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. And remember the T-square. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Talk to you soon. Bye.